you or a loved one is struggling with alcohol or drug use, AdCare can help with locations in Massachusetts and Rhode Island. Help is just around the corner. Your path to recovery begins at AdCare. Call AdCare now at 1-800-ALCOHOL. That's 1-800-ALCOHOL. Let's welcome in from the MMQB. Bert Breer is with us. Hey, Bert.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Not much. Just getting ready for a game for the first time in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, how about that?
Yes. So we've been discussing a little bit this morning the shifts in NFL policy about playing games. And I know that you've spoken with Dr. Alan Sills a number of times about the situation in the league and how things are sort of going to go forward. What is sort of the vibe in the league about adding weeks or being more flexible? Because publicly, they put up this, we need to get it done in 17 weeks. But then you see reports that executives and GMs, et cetera, are saying, well, internally, we're talking about adding some time.
Yeah, and you know, I think that the idea is to get as much played under the current context as they possibly can. And the thought process there goes, like, if we can get through 8 or 9 weeks without moving on a week 18, then that would probably mean it's more likely we don't have to add a week 19, which would mean moving the Super Bowl, right? Like, so if you start moving games back now and start like filling up week 18 now, well, you know, then there's going to be some teams, you know, within a few weeks where they're going to probably lose their flexibility to play, to move games, period. And then we're talking about adding a week 19. So I think that this is, as much as anything else, sort of about maintaining, you know, the integrity of the schedule as best they can, without adding that 18th week. And then I think, you know, it's definitely on the table. Like, I think it's inevitable that they're eventually going to get there. They're going to have to add that 18th week. I think the greater idea here is not to have to go to a 19th week.
Yeah. You just sort of, intercepted my question there, Bert. You know, are they willing to go beyond an 18th week? I know that's a last resort, but are they willing to do it? And is there a certain point where they have to come to the reality of, okay, well, we've used up bye weeks and we don't really want to do a week 19, but the reality is we should start planning for it?
They can. I mean, like, they have the flexibility to move on. They have the flexibility to move the Super Bowl all the way back to the end of February if they have to. And, you know, this is part of like the bidding process. When cities put in bids for Super Bowls, they actually have to clear extra weeks in February, and make sure that they have like the convention space, the hotel space, all that different stuff, so the Super Bowl can be moved if it needs to be moved. Now, obviously, I don't know that all that stuff's going to come into play this year, because it seems less likely that you're going to be packing a city with people and having all the convention stuff that you'd normally have going on. But yeah, they definitely have the flexibility to move the Super Bowl back in February. I think the one thing that people are missing here, I think a huge piece of this isn't about 20 Super Bowl back. Now you're moving the offseason back. How does that affect the 2021 calendar? Because now you're talking about eating into the players' time off. And so that might wind up being another negotiation with the union. So
that's true. But they've never really cared about that, because they had the draft in May when the scouts in the league were like, what are we doing? Why are we holding this draft in May?
I'm not even saying that, Chris. Like, it's like eating into players' free time, though. Like say you finish the regular season. They have to add 3 weeks.
I don't buy that they care about that.
No. I'm not saying that they're worried about like how the players' well-being on that. I'm saying like they'd have to talk to the union about that. You know, like, so if you end the season at the end of January, now you're knocking your whole off-season calendar off kilter, and you're also eating into the amount of time that the players negotiated to have off, right? So like now you got to go back to the players and you got to talk to them about that. And if you're doing that, like, then what does that do to the 2021 calendar? I think part of the priority here is trying to make sure that you have 2021 intact in some sort of normal context. And the further you move this season back, the further you move this year's Super Bowl back, the harder it would be to do that.
All right, Bert, let's change gears a little bit here. What do you make of the Patriots' pursuit this week of Le'Veon Bell?
I just think it was such a bargain for, like, I think it's almost like one of those things where everyone had to kick the tires on it and at least discuss it internally, because he was available for almost nothing. And so, I mean, you're talking about, you know, less than $1 million for the rest of the year and $1 million in incentives in Kansas City. And all of that really is because, you know, he's, you know, owed $6 million by the Jets through the rest of the year. And so I would just sort of look at it this way, Beetle, like the context that like the guy is coming in on is so much different than the context he was going into the 2019, going into the Jets in 2019 in under, like it's buying super high in a guy versus buying at this level. You know, you can bring the guy in who's obviously at one point was one of the best backs in the league. You can, like, in essence, kick the tires on him for a few weeks. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. So I think because of that, I think every contender had to at least kick it around.
When you look at the Patriots here, taking COVID out of it to a degree, what do you feel like their biggest need is, Bert? And what do you think the trade market will look like this year? Bill Belichick sort of referenced this too. With COVID, you know, now it's if you bring somebody in from the outside, there's this 6-day process that they have to go through. How will that affect trades across the league, and how will it affect the Patriots?
I don't think that's going to affect trades across the league so much as the cap in 2021 is going to affect trades across the league. And, you know, and the fact that the cap could be lower over the next 2 or 3 years, I think is going to put a greater premium on draft picks and maybe hurt the value of veteran players a little bit, because you're going to have to, you know, everybody's going to be doing cap gymnastics over the next 2 or 3 years to make it work. And so, like, I think that's absolutely going to affect the way the trade market goes. And, you know, I think, like, you know, like, and if you want an example, like from last year, the two examples were Laremy Tunsil and Jalen Ramsey. You weren't just talking about bringing those guys in. You were talking about bringing those guys in and paying them, you know, $20, $22 million per year. Are you as willing to do that with a guy who's going into a contract year now, knowing what the financial landscape is going to be going forward?
I was just going to cut you off and say that's interesting, but also could there be teams that are sort of out of it and have guys that are high-priced players that they look at and say, hey, we could make our cap situation better next year by moving this guy right now?
Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
And so you, like, look at it like an Atlanta, for example, right? Yeah. Like, so I think, like, they're – you know, their idea with it, like the way that they look at this right now, they want to make their head coach and GM jobs as attractive as they possibly can, because it looks like there's going to be a fair amount of competition out there for different guys. Right.
Right.
So how do you do that? Well, you could say, like, the best thing for us to do is to give the next coach and GM the decision making over Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and every other valuable veteran on our roster. But if somebody comes and blows you away and says, we'll give you 2 first-round picks for Julio Jones, well, then, you know, that could wind up making the job more attractive to somebody too, you know? So I think that there's, like, different, like, kind of things at play with some of the teams that do have some parts to sell here, where, you know, teams that are either firing coaches or are on the verge of firing coaches are going to sort of look at it like kind of a 3 months ahead and say to themselves, do we want to offer the next person who we're going to have in here as our coach, or the next person we're going to have in here as our GM, a piece of the decision-making when it comes to this veteran player? And then, you know, I think that there are obvious names out there. Like, you look at some of the teams that are sort of in that rebuilding mode. The Giants are one that I think is going to, they're going to come up over the next few weeks. And you look at, like, a Golden Tate, you know, somebody like that there, where the player's older and still could have some value to somebody. I think that there will be teams like that that'll be sellers, yes.
That's perfect for Bill Belichick. He will pounce if there's a bargain to be had.
Oh, yeah. He loves a good bargain. How does Matt Patricia still have a job? Can I ask you that quickly before we depart?
Yeah. So, you know, part of it is that they've got a new owner. And the team wasn't sold, but it was handed down to the daughter, Sheila Hempford, or Sheila Ford Hemp. And sure. So she, you know, I whenever something like this happens, there's no track record. And so you're sort of waiting to see what's going to happen. And, you know, I think for most teams, when you're in this position, you weigh the benefit of, I want to see a full body of work with what we've, you know, tried to build here. And so I'm going to give it the full year, you know, versus, well, if we pull the plug now, we can start the process on the next one. And what's so interesting about it, guys, is, like, you see what happened, you know, in Houston and Atlanta, obviously, where, you know, they're now looking for a GM, now looking for a head coach. Yeah. When those sorts of things happen earlier in the year, a lot of times it can put pressure on other teams like Detroit. like the Jets, like potentially Jacksonville, if they were to come undone over the next few weeks, it can sometimes put pressure on those other teams to make a move because they might feel like they're falling behind Houston and Atlanta now. And so I think a piece of it is that, you know, you got a new owner in and she's still getting her feet wet. She wants to sort of probably get a feel for the entire organization and how things have run the last few years and the vision that, you know, Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia put together. But I don't think that there's any question that, you know, firings happening elsewhere in the league can certainly have an effect on teams that are thinking about it.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, Chris.
Yeah.
Being sarcastic. It's going to be a while before anyone even considers him for head coaching.
Patricia?
If ever again.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, he had the classic look of a guy who is, you know, a coordinator, not a head coach. But it would be interesting if they start to sort of undo things there. A guy like Marvin Jones might be a nice fit for the Patriots.
Yeah, that's not a bad one. And, you know, I
another name, that, another good one, Chris.
Here's the thing, guys. Like, that's one where it could really be affected by who's making the call, right? Like, so if you're Bob Quinn and you're Matt Patricia and they're still in place at the trade deadline, like, those guys are going to be doing everything they can to try to save their jobs. So are those guys going to be worried about where they're picking in 2021?
Yeah,
probably not, right?
I'd be hopeful here that they get fired this week. That'd be good.
It'd be good for the Patriots.
Good for the Patriots.
If there's an interim GM in place or whatever who's trying to make the job more attractive to the next person, well, Marvin Jones ain't Julio Jones. You know what I mean?
Trade him all, baby. That person's
going to say,
you know, and he's a pending free agent, and they have to sign Golladay, too. So, you know, even if Quinn and Patricia are there, given the cap situation you've laid out, Bert, I don't see how they possibly bring both guys back.
And, you know, you look at a Houston, right? Like, okay, so, like, they've got a number of receivers. Like, so, you know,
Kenny Stills would look good in a Patriots uniform.
Kenny Stills is in a contract year, yeah. I mean,
We're just throwing out great names left and right. I'm getting excited.
Let me throw this name out there.
Okay,
because the big money's gone.
Give me another one.
Do you bring Brandon Cooks back?
He knows the system.
Yeah. I would be in favor of that.
I mean, really, like, honestly, like, if you want somebody who can hit the ground running,
would
you think about that? Like, because he's a little expensive, but the Rams gave him a lot of money up front. So if you look at, like, what's left on his contract, it's actually, like, pretty affordable, you know, like, so, like, he could be somebody that you look at and say, this is somebody who we can bring in who knows what we're doing. And got me, you almost feel bad for the guy because he's got the concussion issue and he's been traded more times than, I mean, like, it's unbelievable how much that guy's been moved, but he is somebody who you would think would have, like, the background to help you on the fly.
Not really a big game player, though.
No.
He did draw those pass interferences in the AFC title game against Jacksonville, but it's, oh, God, that Super Bowl was painful to watch.
It was tough to blame him for, I mean, you know.
He ran around like a chicken with his head cut off. He literally ran into two monster hits.
I feel bad for him. He didn't
have a chance to finish that game, and I don't know if that was really. I mean, you're right. He probably could have protected himself.
He looked like a frantic wild animal attempting to cross the street and running into a car.
You are harsh.
That car was wearing number 27.
I defended him most of the year.
Who knew that Chris Gasper could be so mean-spirited?
But he freaked out in that game.
All right, Bert, great talking with you.
He seems like he has a real edge here about Brandon Cooks.
I'm going to look into that.
I liked Brandon Cooks. I defended him.
I'll talk to you this week, Bert. Thanks for being here.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bert Breer of the MMQB. Chalk Talk is brought to you by Bud Light. When game day is a go, there's a Bud Light there. Enjoy responsibly. I said earlier, are there style points today? And it is directly related to the conversation we just had and all those names we threw out as potential targets in the trade market. I'll explain for you, Chris, while you cool down over there about Brandon Cooks. That's coming up next on the Safety Insurance 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network.